Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a great call planned for you. Today's 30 minutes of content and up to 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. To ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out in our Facebook group. Join us out in the Sales Technology Training Program Facebook group. You'll find the link in the email that I sent out earlier today. Click on that link and join me in the group. Look for the pinned post at the top of the page. Today you'll see a red image at the top. It says Sales Technology Call Module 2 Opt-in Pages. And then go ahead and share your takeaways on that post. All right. Now, I want to also remind you that you can access the audio recordings from these calls out on the membership page. Again, you'll find the link in the email message that I send out every week. Click on that link, go out. I have all the archives current, so you can go out there and listen to all the recent calls from the program. Now, the Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. There are 12 modules of content, and we take you through how to leverage different technology tools in your business. So if you're looking for a way to implement technology tools and skills to be able to create results, then I suggest that you go through the content and learn the strategies that I teach you here that will help you to get into action to be able to create results. Now, by the way, a quick announcement before we dive into our content today. I want to let you know that we have an upcoming free training. There's actually two of them. There's one today just immediately after this call, so we'll actually wrap up a couple minutes early. That is on 5 keys to automate social media using Hootsuite, and that will be on February 24th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Again, it's 5 keys to automate social media using Hootsuite, and the link to register for that webinar is socialmediaoutcomes.com/HootsuiteWebinar, and that is spelled HootsuiteWebinar, Hootsuite Webinar, socialmediaoutcomes.com/HootsuiteWebinar. And then also, I have a free webinar that's going to be coming up on March 5th, and that is a Thursday, and it's at 10 a.m. Pacific time, and the topic is on how to grow your business online. If you'd like to register for that webinar, you can simply go to socialmediaoutcomes.com/online-revenue. All right, well, it's time to get into our content for today. And our topic is on opt-in pages. And this is designed to help you get into action to learn how to create an opt-in page. So we're going to talk about the strategies behind opt-in pages, how you can make use of this strategy, because ultimately, if you want to build your email list, then a great way to do that is by creating an opt-in page, also called a lead capture page or a squeeze page. And so this is a great strategy to implement. This is something that I encourage you to do from time to time, is to create a new opt-in page. So first of all, you're going to need an email marketing system in order to set up an opt-in page. And the reason is that you need a way to put an opt-in form on an opt-in page. That's the whole purpose of having the page, is so that people will fill in their details and that information will automatically go into your email marketing system. So you need an email marketing system to be able to do that. I use a service called One Shopping Cart. There are many different systems out there, including Constant Contact, iContact, MailChimp, AWeber, there's GreenRope, CoolerWeb, and many more. Infusionsoft, for instance. So you need some type of a system that can be used, and that system will actually create the opt-in form. It will provide you with the HTML code, and then you can copy and paste that, put it onto your web page, on your opt-in page, and then that form will appear on the page where people can opt in. Now, why have people opt in at all? What's the big deal about having people opt into your email list? Well, first of all, if you want to be able to communicate with people, then you have to have a mechanism or a means to be able to reach people. And many of the strategies that you will implement online will be strategies that leverage other people's networks. So for instance, if you go out and if you post out on social media, let's say you post something out on Facebook, well, you've taken the time to build a network of people out on Facebook. But here's the thing, who owns the network? Do you own the network, or does Facebook? Well, let me ask it a different way. If Facebook wanted to, could they suspend your account? Could they delete your account and you would no longer have access to it? The answer, of course, is yes. So technically, you don't really own or control your network. And unless you've actually gone through and made a list of all the different people that you're connected to, if they shut down your account, then you wouldn't even know who you were connected to. You would lose access to your network entirely. On the other hand, with an email list, when you set up an email list, then you control that account. For one, you're paying for an email marketing system versus Facebook where it's free. You know, you go in and set up a free account. You're actually part of the content. By going out and participating as a user, you provide part of the content for the site. But you're not paying for the site, and so Facebook doesn't necessarily owe you anything. Whereas with your email marketing system, you are paying on a monthly basis for the service that they're providing. On top of that, you can also export your email list. So if for whatever reason you had a problem with your email service and you wanted to move to another one, you could just simply export your list and then import it into another service. So you can take your list with you. So email marketing gives you much more control. And there are all sorts of other ways that you can create visibility online through a website, through syndicating content on other websites. But ultimately, the one true method that you can use that will help to build a network of people that you can consistently market to at your own pace is email marketing. It's a very core strategy to build your business online. It's one of the key sales technology tools that you can use to be able to generate results. So whether it is sharing an offer, whether it is sending an email that invites people to an event, whether it's sending a link where people could schedule an appointment with you, it can help to drive activity. And I love to focus on strategies that will drive activity. And what's great is the more that you work to implement this strategy and add value to your email list, the bigger results that you get. The larger your list will grow, the more people you'll be able to reach, and the bigger of an impact that you will have over time. See, results take as long as they take. And I think sometimes when people get started online, they get disappointed because as they start implementing strategies, they start to see that they're not really getting any results. And that's just the fact. That's just the case when people get started out. If you're starting with a small list, then when you send out a message, you're not really having much of an impact. You're not reaching that many people. So you just have to be in it for the long haul. You have to take consistent action over time. You have to work to build your list. You have to work to add value to your list. And if you do that consistently over time, then you will have a bigger and a bigger and a bigger impact. I've been at this for many years, and I've reached a point in my business where I can send out an email, and I can have a big result from that. And I'll just give you an example here. For the webinar that I'm doing today at 5 p.m., I sent out an email. I've sent out actually two emails. I sent one last week, and then I sent another email today, and then I also mentioned it in my newsletter. So I had really kind of three touches, plus I did some social media marketing around it as well. And if I go out and I take a look at how many people that I've had register for this specific event, I'll pull it up and give you a number here. It is 73. I've had 73 people register for this webinar. This is the biggest result that I've had recently in terms of registrations. I had another event that I did just a couple weeks ago that I had 51 people register for. But I've had 73 people register for this webinar. Some topics just grab people's attention, and typically social media topics tend to do very well with my audience. So what's nice about that is that on that webinar tonight, I will deliver a lot of value. I'll share a lot of information. And I'll also lead people to a next step in working with me. And what's great about that is I have the opportunity to generate sales. I can enroll new clients while I'm on that webinar. So I want you to think about what you can do where one strategy leads toward the next. So in this case, it is using email marketing. So that's kind of step one. Email marketing to invite people to an event. That's step two, hosting a webinar. And then step three is then extending an invitation for people to participate in a program. That's step three, and that is generating a sale. So you want to make sure that the activities that you're taking, in a lot of cases, are going to be driving toward sales. And here's what's nice. out of the 73 people that registered, probably a certain percentage of those completed the process to register for the webinar itself, because I do a two-step process where I have them initially register on a registration page, and then I encourage them to register for the webinar. So the thing in marketing is you get drop-off all along the way. So if I had 73 people initially register for the webinar, I might have only 53 actually register for directly through GoToWebinar. So I might lose 20 in the process right there. So out of 53, then I have to take a look at how many people actually show up for the webinar. So let's say, for instance, out of 53, 50% showed up, and we'll just round it down to 25. So out of 73 initial, it drops to 53. Registering for the webinar, 25 show up at the on the day of the webinar, and then out of that, probably a certain percentage of those are already in the program that I'm offering. So let's cut that down, say, down to 20, and out of 20 people left, if I had, say, 10% of people sign up, 10% of 20 would be 2. If I had 20% sign up, 20% of 20 would be 4 people register. So everything comes down to numbers and sales. And the online marketing strategies that you implement, the sales technology tools that you implement, it's no different. And so you can look at everything and just realize that it does take a lot of effort over time to get a result. But what's nice is, or one of the things that's nice is, out of those 73 initial people that registered, I can follow up with them. I have... I am able to identify those people in my system, and so, for instance, I could send a follow-up email. So one thing I might do is, after the webinar, I might send a link where they can go watch the video from the webinar. So that might be one way that I could get the message out to them. I could also send a reminder email a few days later and send details about my program. On top of that, I could also pick up the phone and call them. See, on the opt-in forms that I use, I always ask for a phone number. I like to talk to people. And so if I ask for a phone number, that gives me the opportunity to pick up the phone and call them. So by implementing one strategy, it gives me multiple ways to generate results. So you want to think about how you can use email in a way that creates multiple opportunities for you to deliver value and generate sales. Now, let's just do a quick check-in here. As we're on the call today, I want to encourage you to share your takeaways out in the Facebook group. So let me add a comment goal to the page right now. Let's set a comment goal of 15 comments for the call today. So currently we're at 3 comments, so I do encourage you to go out there. And let me post a quick message to say hello. I know that Shauna is on the call today. So I just added her name into the group in a post, so feel free to join us out in the Facebook group. Okay, now let's talk for a moment about where you should put your opt-in page. So you've got a couple different choices. One, you could put your opt-in page on your main website. You could just add a web page directly on your website where people could click, go fill out the information on the form, and opt in. And that's certainly an option. One of the disadvantages of putting an opt-in page just directly on your website is, in some cases, when you add an opt-in page like that, it's going to carry over with all of the menu navigation on your site. So there's a phrase in marketing, which is the confused mind. And also, the confused mind doesn't take action. So somebody comes to a web page that has your opt-in form, and there are all these different links where they can click and go look at blog posts and this and that, then it's very possible they just might move on and click a link and go somewhere else. So that is not optimal in order to generate results. It's better to send people to a web page where the only option is to fill out the form and opt-in. So another way to do this is to have a separate page on your website that doesn't have your menu navigation. And in some cases, this might involve installing another plugin on your site. Like if you have a WordPress site, it might require setting up a whole different version of WordPress on your domain in another folder, and then creating your pages there. And Then another option is to get a separate domain and then put your offer on that domain. So it's kind of like a website with one web page where it has your opt-in. That's another option of doing that. Now, if you do it that way, one benefit is that if you're sharing a link, all you have to do is give out the website address. You don't have to give any, you know, secondary information where they have to go to. Like, I'll just give you an example. I have an opt-in page on my site where I offer a free report on 33 simple strategies to build your email list. And the link to go get that report is at socialmediaoutcomes.com/33email. socialmediaoutcomes.com/33, and then email. And if you go out there, you'll find the details about that report. You can fill out the form and then get access to it. So that is a link that's on my website. So it is a little bit longer because I have to have a link at the end. And I could probably make the name a little bit simpler, just like have one word rather than kind of a combination of numbers and words. But that's an example of a web page. That is a standalone page. There's no other navigation links on that page, even though it's on my main website. So that's kind of optimal. And I like doing it that way, for one, because it keeps your costs down. Like if you get every time you have an idea for an opt-in page, if you have to go get a domain, then, you know, that's another, $10, $15 that you have to pay for that domain. So not a big amount of money. It is on an annual basis, so it does add up over time. If you purchase your domains, say, 5 years at a time, you can drop that cost a little bit further. They do offer discounts oftentimes if you're purchasing for a longer period of time. So that's something to think about. Now, how do you entice someone to opt in? How do you motivate someone to want to fill out the form? Well, there's a number of different strategies that you want to implement, and I'm going to use the example of the report that I just shared with you. So I'll give out the link again, socialmediaoutcomes.com/33email. If you go to the page, then you'll notice a couple things. First of all, on the page, I have a header at the very top of the page. That's not the same header as my main website. If you go out to my main website, you'll see that it's a little bit different. This one mentions the title of this free report in the header. Now, again, this is a banner or header image at the top of the page. It also personally brands me in the image. It has my picture, it has my name, it says Rick Cooper, online marketing expert. And so that's at the very top of the page. So when somebody lands on the page, then immediately it gives them a sense of who I am and what they're going to get. And I think that's important because, unfortunately, I've been to a lot of web pages where when I go to the page, I have no idea who is offering this. Like if I clicked on a link somewhere and went out to this page, I don't really know who it is. Now, they might have their information on the page somewhere, and so as I scroll down, I can read it and find out. But the thing you have to remember is when people are surfing around online and they're clicking on links, they're looking for any reason to get out of there. If they go to a page and they don't like what they see, they're just going to click and close the button and they're never going to come back, and that's it. You just missed your opportunity to capture a lead. And so you want to do everything possible to encourage people to fill out the form to get access to the information. So a banner image is one way to do that. Graphics are very important online. And I think a lot of people underutilize graphics. They miss the boat because they're not using effective graphics. And I have a lot of graphics that I've implemented, and still I have more that I could create, more things that I can do. And here's the thing. If you have a lot of things online, a lot of things that you're doing, then you really have to prioritize. You can't do everything at once. You have to be picky and choosy and take the time to figure out what you want to implement. Now, another component to an opt-in page is the headline. And in fact, on most opt-in pages, you can have up to three different headlines. In my case, on this particular page, I have two. But the three different types that you could have would be the main headline, which would appear in the center. It would be in the largest font and also be in the brightest color. In this case, mine is in red. Red is a traditional color for grabbing attention. Then above the headline, the main headline, you could add a pre-headline, and below the main headline, you could add a sub-headline. In this case, I have a subheadline that says, complete the form now to receive your copy of this timely and valuable report. So oftentimes the pre-headline will be used to communicate or identify a specific audience that this particular free offer is for. The main headline gives a benefit and has a call to action. So in this case, my headline says, get instant access now to a free report from online marketing expert Rick Cooper and learn how to quickly and easily build your email list. So we've got a call to action there. Get instant access now. We've identified what it is, a free report. We've identified who it's from, online marketing expert Rick Cooper. Again, it's tying back and establishing credibility. And then finally, the value they're going to get, the benefit. Learn how to quickly and easily build your email list. That's a common benefit, a common goal that people have is to build their email list. Now, I want to get into some more details on this page, but first of all, let me just pop out into the Facebook group. I want to see who's sharing takeaways in the group. And looks like we don't have any takeaways. No takeaways and no questions. So keep in mind that we'll be getting into our audience participation portion of the call in a few minutes here. So this could be a very short call unless we have some comments out there in the group. So I encourage you to go out there and share a few ideas so I'll have something to share when I get to that portion of the call. Okay, let's dive in a little bit further here. Now, here's a question to consider. Should you use pop-up ads or pop-behind ads? This is used extensively in internet marketing. So for a lot of traditional internet marketers, they want to make sure that before you leave a page, they give you one more opportunity to fill out the form and opt in. So you might click a button to actually close out the tab, close the web page, and then a little message comes up and says, are you sure you want to close this page? And so you're sitting there thinking to yourself, do I want to close it or not? Or sometimes they'll offer a secondary offer, or they'll have a box that, where you can just fill it out right there. Hey, here's another free report on such and such topic. Or if you fill out this form, we'll give you this audio and the report. So that's a technique that you can use, and it tends to be pretty effective, although it is a little bit annoying. So just keep in mind that it might turn some people off, but people do it because it tends to work. A pop-up will appear right in front of the browser when somebody's surfing, like if they try to close a page. A pop-behind will appear behind the browser so that usually you don't come across it until later on when you actually kind of minimize your screen and you're going through your windows and then you see this pop-behind. So you might not remember. I mean, if you've gone through a lot of different web pages, you might not even know what it's referring to, but you see it there and then you might actually respond to it. Now, once you have an opt-in page up, how do you drive traffic to it? How do you get people to it? Good question. See, it's not enough just to build an opt-in page and expect that people are just going to randomly find your page. It doesn't really happen like that. It's tough to get an opt-in page indexed by the search engines. It's much easier to get traffic, for instance, to a blog. If you're consistently creating new blog content on a site, and that content is being picked up and indexed by the search engines, then it's a lot easier to get somebody out to a blog post than it is to get somebody out to an opt-in page. But nonetheless, still, you need to find a way to get people to your opt-in page. So what methods do you have? Well, one, you can use your blog. If you have people who are visiting your blog, you can encourage them to visit your opt-in page. Now, you really have two options. One is you could put an opt-in page directly on your site. So, for instance, if you go to my main site at socialmediaoutcomes.com, you'll notice in this in the sidebar that I have an opt-in form there to a different report on 10 ways to monetize social media. For the longest time, I did not have an opt-in form on my website, but I figured with as much content as I have on my website and as many blog posts as I have, I should probably add that onto my site. And sure enough, I've noticed that I have had an increase in the number of people opting in for that free offer. So by adding that form onto the website directly, then it's increasing the opt-ins for that specific offer. But you can also include other ways to get people out to an opt-in page. So for instance, in an actual blog post, at the end of the blog post, you could write a short little message mention a free offer, and then include a link where people can click to go out to that opt-in page. That's one technique that you can use. You could also create a banner ad. A banner ad would be a graphic image, for instance, that could appear either before or after a blog post or even in the sidebar on your site. People would see that little image, and they could click on that image, and then it would take them over to your opt-in page. That could be a great technique to use. Obviously, on a graphic like that, you don't have a whole lot of space to put information, so you probably want to have some kind of a graphic image, a picture of something, and then you'd want to have a brief explanation of what it is, like, you know, a free report or a free audio, the title of the topic, and then you want to have something like what looks like a button that would say something like click here. And in reality, if they click anywhere on the image, it will take them, it will link, you can have a hyperlink and then redirect them to a specific web page, in this case an opt-in page. Another way to get people out to your opt-in page is through social media. And this is a technique that I use all the time. So, for instance, you could go out to your business Facebook page and you could share a free offer there. You could go to your Twitter page and share a free offer. You could go to your LinkedIn profile and share a free offer. Include a link that goes out to your opt-in page and people can go out and opt in to receive that information. Another technique is that you can leverage joint venture partners. Find other people who are willing to cross-promote you. Have them send an email or post out on social media or use some other technique, maybe spotlight you on their blog. Those can all be great ways that can get people out to your opt-in page. You can also use social bookmarking sites, sites like Delicious or Tumblr.com. Those are great sites where you can go out and share links back to an opt-in page, for instance. So think about any kind of place which is already getting traffic, and then you could put up a link that would lead people out to that. There are also many other different websites out there, including Craigslist. There's also one called HubPages. I used to say another site you could go to is Squidoo, but Squidoo was acquired by HubPages. So I used to have a Squidoo account, so I might have to go and set up a HubPages account to utilize that as an example. Strategy, and this is an interesting one, is event marketing. So, for instance, when I shared earlier that I had 73 people register for the webinar that I'm hosting, now, some of those folks that registered were already on my email list, but some of them were brand new. Some of them saw the information out on Facebook, for instance, because I posted out on different social media sites. They might have clicked through and then registered for the event. So what's nice about that is that the event created an opportunity for an opt-in. And by having a registration page, people filled out the form that registered for them for the event, and now they're on my email list. Now I have the potential to be able to follow up with them through email. So event marketing can be a great way to build your email list and get more traffic out to your opt-in pages. Because what is a registration page? It's an opt-in page. Now, let's come back to the my webpage here, my opt-in page. I want to run through a few more details. And again, if you're following along as you're listening in, you can go out to socialmediaoutcomes.com/33email to see an example of what I'm talking about here. Now, on the rest of the webpage, you'll find additional copy. Copy refers to copywriting. Those are words that are persuasive and influential. I like to include a list of bullet points. So, for instance, in this one I say, here's what you'll learn in the report. And then I include a list of 5 bullet points. In this case, they're not actually bullet points, they're actual arrows that point to them, but same thing, bullet points. So one of them is tips to leverage social media to grow your email list. Another one is proven online marketing strategies for list building. I also put a link or put information there. In this case, it says, who is Rick Cooper? Now, I have optimized some of my other web pages, and it looks like I haven't done it for this one, so I'm going to do it while I'm on the call here. So I'm going to tweak this. I like to go back and optimize my pages periodically. So for most of my web pages, instead of saying, who is Rick Cooper, what I say is, about the expert, for instance. So about the expert, Rick Cooper. That's just a more effective way than kind of putting it in the form of a question. So I'm going to update that, and then that will refresh on the page. Oh, and the other thing is I noticed the image. I can tweak the image a little bit because right now the image is a little bit off, and I want to have the title. In fact, I can also change the size of the title there. I'm using a command to bold the text, and instead I want to insert a header tag. I don't want to get into the aspects of editing HTML code, but you can make things kind of larger and stand out better on your pages. But I'm just going to make that slight little tweak. It's going to move the picture down a little bit. It's going to make the text a little bit larger on the page. And so that's a simple technique that I can do that will help to optimize that page. And just refresh my page, so now it has about the expert, Rick Cooper, has my details, my picture fits more in alignment with the text there, so it looks much better to me. Oh, and the other thing I noticed, the text is off at the bottom. I borrowed this copy from another page, so it says register now. Scroll up and complete the form. So register is a term I use for events. It's not a term that I use for getting free reports. So I'm going to say get instant access now. Scroll up and complete the form. And you know what? It might be a little bit too long. I'm going to take the now off and just say get instant access. And let me refresh and see what this looks like. Because depending on, yeah, that works perfect. Okay, good. So that's a couple slight tweaks that I made on this web page to improve it. Now, of course, one key aspect of an opt-in page is to have the actual opt-in form. And on this page, I have a sidebar with the opt-in box. There's a red arrow that appears at the top. It says, get your free report now. And then below that, it says, enter your contact information below. And then it has three fields, one for first and last name, another one for email address, and another for phone. And then a big yellow button or yellow kind of gold button that says, get instant access. And then the final item on this page is that it has a picture of the actual free report. So it's what's referred to as an ebook image. So it's kind of a three-dimensional image, so it looks like it's a kind of a virtual book, but it has the title of it directly on the image there. It also has my picture and my name on it as well. So again, it's helping to create personal branding. An image helps to make something more tangible because an ebook by virtue is virtual, you know, so it's hard for people to get an image of what it looks like. It's not like going to the bookstore and kind of picking up books and looking at them. So by using a graphic, the graphic can help to make it more tangible and more realistic to people. And it also helps create desire because then they want it. If you see something, then you're much more likely to want it than just reading about it. So graphics can be a very important element that will motivate people to want to take action. Okay, we've hit the bottom of the hour and are a little bit past it, so it's time for the audience participation portion of the call. So I'm going to go out to the web page here and read some of the comments here. Tom says, what is the best method to drive traffic to an opt-in page? Well, I'll tell you, the best method that I've heard of is to use pay-per-click ads. Like Google pay-per-click ads tend to be the most effective. It also can be costly. There are people who spend thousands of dollars every single month to pay for Google ads. And what happens is that ad will show up in the search engine. So even if you're searching your web page or website doesn't rank in the in Google as people are searching for keywords, you can be right at the top of the page using Google AdWords. And what's nice about that is people do click on those links and they do go out and take advantage of offers. So you have to weigh the cost of it. See, this is where you have to look at how quickly and effectively you will monetize results. Once you start bringing money into the equation, once you start paying for ads, then you're going to start looking for return on investment. And so you have to look and say, okay, well, if I pay, say, $500 for Google pay-per-click ads per month, then how quickly can I monetize that $500? How quickly can I make back that $500? If I paid $500 for ads, then how quickly would I earn back that $500? Now, it depends on whether you're offering, for instance, like a one-time purchase. Like if you had a one-time purchase for, say, $37, then you would just have to do the numbers of it. And you'd have to say, well, how many sales do I have to make at $37 to get back $500? So if we do the quick math on that, 500 divided by 37 is 13.5. You'd have to generate roughly 14 sales per month to break even. Now, one of the things to consider is that even though you might have that one-time offer up front for the 37, you would still have acquired a new lead, and not only acquired a new lead, but also a new customer. So now, when you have after that person has purchased, they may go back and purchase something else as well. So you can't just look strictly at that one-time purchase, because they might turn around and then purchase something for $100, and then something for $500, and something for $1,000. So you can monetize that over time. So maybe if you factor that in, then maybe you really only need to generate something like 5 sales in a month. Like 5 times 37, do the math on that again, 5 times $37 would be $185. So that would leave you a difference of $315 that you'd be in the hole, but then you could make that back. Let's say if you had a $100 product you were selling on the back end, if ultimately within a couple months after you generated 4 sales at $100, then you would have made back that $500. But ultimately it comes down to numbers. You have to take a look at your numbers over time and see what's producing the results. So pay-per-click ads typically, and Google pay-per-click ads in particular, are the best route to go for that. Now, I do pay-per-click advertising mostly in the form of Facebook ads. In fact, I just did an ad to promote the webinar that I'm hosting this afternoon at 5 o'clock. And for that ad, I paid $7, and the ad ran over the course of a week. I was able to select how many days I wanted, and I wanted it to run leading up to the webinar. So it went for 7 days starting a week ago and then running up to today. And the ad just shut off a little while ago. And the results that I got are, it told me I had 11 results. Now, it didn't indicate exactly what those results were. A result could just be clicking on the link and then going out to the event page. It didn't necessarily mean somebody, you know, clicked on the button to join the event. It doesn't mean they went out all the way to my website and clicked and opted in and registered for the event. But 11 people did something. So ultimately, you know, will I get a return on that? Well, for $7, that's a pretty small amount. So even if I had one person who went through, clicked, registered, and ultimately bought, then it would probably pay for itself. And there's still a value of just getting that message out there. Even if people didn't take action, people were seeing that ad show up in their newsfeed. It creates a visibility. So you want to think, one of the things I like about Facebook ads is you because you have the option to include images in there, then you get some branding from that as well. Like Google pay-per-click ads, it's all text-based. There's no pictures. So people aren't seeing anything. All they're seeing is the text. So it has kind of very little long-term value. If somebody clicks, great. If not, they're not going to remember it. Whereas something that has an image is more likely to stick in somebody's mind and have some ongoing value over time if you're doing a strategy consistently over time. Shannon says, drive traffic by putting opt-in on your blog. Link at the end of your blog on your website, social media, or a banner ad. Yeah, absolutely. You know, any place you can put that link that is reasonable, then go ahead and do that. Now, remember, you don't want to just be going out, for instance, to, you know, Facebook groups and spamming groups and including your link and doing things like that. That's a good way to get banned from a Facebook group. In fact, I had a client earlier today that I saw had posted in a group, and I sent her a quick private message, and I said, your post might be considered spam. And sure enough, and what's interesting is, I don't think she might have included a link. I don't remember off the top of my head, but you have to be careful about that. You have to be careful about posting in Facebook groups. That can get you blocked from groups, and that's what happened. They deleted her post, and they blocked her from the group. She'll never be able to go back to that group again. So you don't want to get to a place where you're desperate and trying to create results, and you're taking shortcuts and doing things that that are dangerous, because then that's a missed opportunity. That's a, you know, potentially a group with thousands of people that she'll never be able to reach out to and connect with. The group is basically invisible to her. So you want to be careful about that. Tom says, my blog site does not have an opt-in page. Needs to get fixed. Yeah, so if your blog doesn't have an opt-in page built in on the site, then that's something to add. And the way that I add those forms to my page is that I use a service called OptimizePress. So I paid a one-time investment of $97, and that gives me the capability to install the OptimizePress theme on my on a WordPress site, and then I can create as many pages as I want. And so within my version of OptimizePress, I have, let me give you a number here. I'll tell you how many pages that I've created on my site just by using that. Let's see here. Let me pull this up. Now this is not my main site. I have OptimizePress installed on a separate WordPress site. So I have two installations of WordPress, and one of them has my main site, which has my main web pages and my blog posts, and then the other one is the OptimizePress site, and that's where I put opt-in pages, I put sales pages for products, programs, or services that I'm offering, and then I also put member content up there as well. I have 961 web pages, and that's just on the OptimizePress site side of things. 961 web pages. So it takes time to implement any kind of strategy. It starts first with, a goal. It's figuring out what you want. Like, that's a goal. I want an opt-in page on my site. And then you identify, are there any specific technology tools that I don't have today that I need to have to make that happen? And once you figure that out, then you go purchase that. Sometimes there are things that you can do for free. Sometimes you just need to plunk down a little bit of cash and pay for it, and that gives you a whole lot of options that you can now make use of. Shauna says, Rick, I just changed my website to a WordPress site and purchased OptimizePress today, so I haven't started using it. I use MailChimp for my emails and Insightly for my CRM. Is there a video online that shows how to sync these together? For example, how do I get the emails collected from my opt-in to go into MailChimp and Insightly? Well, MailChimp allows you to create an opt-in form. In my experience, MailChimp doesn't integrate too well in with OptimizePress. You'll have to experiment with it to see what. Now, you probably have the newer version of OptimizePress, which is OptimizePress version 2.0, and there might be an integration piece in there. So good in there to OptimizePress and explore and work it a little bit. There might be a way to integrate it in directly. The second version, OptimizePress version 2.0, has a better integration to where it will allow you to kind of do point and click and select a list within your service and then have it pull the forms directly or the fields directly into the form. So it might be an easier thing. If not, there is still a way that you can add an opt-in box directly onto the site. But it's going to be you'll probably have to go to each site and watch videos on each one to figure out how to do that. So on MailChimp, you would go and look at how do I create a web form. On OptimizePress, you would go and see if there's anything specific relating to MailChimp. How do you add a MailChimp opt-in form to your website on an OptimizePress page? Okay, looks like we're caught up on comments for the moment, so keep them coming and keep your questions too, and I'll pop out there and respond to some more here in a few minutes. In the meantime, let me go on and share a few more ideas. So what kind of graphics should you add to an opt-in page? Well, first of all, if you can, create some type of an image of your free offer. If it's an audio, you might consider creating a CD image. If it's a free report or some kind of a written item, then have a graphic that looks perhaps like an ebook. And if it's a video, then you could create or have an image created that looks more like a video. Like in some of my videos, I have like a screen with a picture of a person on it, and that could be an example of a video. Or you could do like an image of a DVD. I've also used that one as well, even for online video, to demonstrate or show what people will get. then it's also a good idea to insert some graphics that might be related to the content. Like think about the benefits that people are getting and think of a graphic that would help to illustrate that. But you can insert graphics in on a web page. Another graphic you can insert is your picture. So I do recommend that you have and that you insert your photo and your bio, a short bio, probably about 2 to 3 paragraphs maximum, on your opt-in page. It's important to establish your expertise. Why would somebody want to opt in to receive something if they don't feel that you're an expert? So you need to make sure that you have an effective bio. And, you know, this is kind of one of those long-term things. Take a look at your bio and think about it and just ask yourself, you know, what else do I need to have on my bio that would make me more effective? And then turn that into a task list. Think of what things that you can do that would then be accomplishments that you can list on your bio. And so that can be something that you work on over time. And every time you have something new that you can add, update your bio. Now, here's another something else to consider. Can you add videos to an opt-in page? Yes, absolutely. Video opt-in pages are very popular. You could have a short video, I'd probably recommend about 30 seconds long, on an opt-in page where you're talking to the person who's on the page and encouraging them to fill out the form to opt in. So what would you want to say in that 30 seconds? Well, you might want to share some things that help to establish the value. Talk about the benefits of what people are going to get. That's what's probably going to motivate them to take action, is if they feel like there's something that they're going to get that they wouldn't get otherwise. Here's some kind of amazing benefit that you have to offer them. Now, don't go the route of having too much hype. Hype tends to drive people away. Just talk in a reasonable way about what it is that they're going to learn. And they might get excited about that and want to get access to that information. So if you can add value in that through that means, then it will cause people to want to take action and then go ahead and fill out the form to get access to it. So video can be a very effective technique. Now, once you create the video, then you need to upload that somewhere. Either you need to upload it to YouTube, and then you can embed a YouTube video onto the page. You can use a service like Video or Vimeo. You can also host the video on a site like Amazon S3 and then embed it into your web page using a plugin or a tool, something like Flow Player, which will play a video directly on your page. There are all sorts of different options for making use of videos. You can just experiment with that. One disadvantage of using something like YouTube is typically at the end of your YouTube video, it will display a list of other videos to watch. So now what you've done is they watch your video, and now they're distracted by clicking and watching another video from somebody else. So it's best if you can just have the video play, and then that's it. There's nothing else that happens after that. Then they have to fill out the form to get the information. Just keep it simple, keep it straightforward. There's also a technique where you can show an image of a video. It's not an actual video that will play, but it looks like a video, and if somebody just clicked on it, nothing would happen. Usually what happens is when you click on it, it would say something like, fill out the form on this page to get access to the video. So it just gives them a call to action to then fill out the form. And then once they opt in, then it would take them to a web page where it has a longer video. In that case, it might be more like a 10 to 15 minute video, which is adding more value. All right, let me head back over to the Facebook page and check to see any other comments or questions on the page. Okay, Shauna says, me too, Thomas. It is easy to create your own opt-in page, or is it easy to create your own opt-in page, or do most people pay someone to do it for them? Good question. So the first way I'm going to answer that, Shauna, is that once you have the software like OptimizePress installed, then if you can figure out how to do it once, you can do it again. What I recommend is to document a procedure. Anytime you do something that's technical, that's going to be a challenge to go back through again in the future, and even if it's not that difficult, I would go ahead and document a procedure. I do this all the time for my own business. So creating an opt-in page, there are a lot of different steps. There's a lot of different things that you have to do. So if you can lay out a step-by-step process that tells you exactly what to do, and keep in mind, a lot of times when I create opt-in pages, I will start by duplicating an existing page. If you can start with something that's already created, then you've already saved a bunch of steps. Then you just need to go in and make edits to it. And for Optimized Press version 2.0, it uses a series of elements. So it's kind of like plug and play, or like where you click and you click a button, you can add an element onto the page, or you can click and edit an element. So each individual section of your opt-in page is an element on the page. And so when you go into edit mode, then you can click on these different blocks, and it will take you into, it'll bring up a window and then allow you to make edits to it directly. Now, one thing I've noticed is if you have an older or a slow computer, Optimized Press version 2.0 is going to be super slow to work with. I was trying to do it on my old laptop, and it was taking forever. And when I upgraded to a desktop computer, it ran much faster. So keep in mind that the more complex the tools you get, oftentimes the slower they're going to run on an older computer. So make sure that you have current equipment. That can make a big difference as you're working, because really time is money. And if something takes, say, five times as long to do it on an older computer, then that's going to slow down the process. And instead of doing other things like making phone calls or doing social media or email marketing, then you're stuck, you know, building a web page that's going to take five times as long as if you had a faster computer. That's something to keep in mind. You could pay somebody to do that. That's a service that I offer clients. I do build opt-in pages for clients. So you could hire me, or you could hire somebody else to create it. It could be that you initially have somebody else do it for you, and then you go back and duplicate the process in the future. When you're hiring somebody, generally I don't recommend having them go in and do a lot of custom work. Some programmers that you might hire will go in and do things in the background that you have no way to adjust. So if they start getting into editing CSS style sheets and things like that, there's no way you're going to be able to do that in the future. And so if somebody's created something that's custom, then you're not going to be able to make use of it or reuse it or change it in the future. So I'll be careful about what you pay people to do, and be sure that they're just using the tools as they're designed and not doing anything special or funky. You know, and some people, they want things to be perfect. They want things to be a certain way, and so they hire somebody to do something for them, and then later on down the line, if they need to change something, then they've got to hire them back to fix it, for instance. So just have to keep that in mind. But again, just take a look at what your investment would be, what the potential opportunity or return on investment is, and then you can make your decision as to whether that's a good investment or not. Optimized Press does have a lot of videos on their site, so that's a great way to learn how to make use of it, is to go watch videos. And it's going to be one of those cases. I don't recommend just like sitting down and watching 10 videos and then trying to implement. I would find maybe two or three videos that would be relevant, and then watch one video, go in and try to do something. Try to immediately take the information that you learn and make it actionable. Do something with it. That's a much better way than just watching a bunch of videos in a row and then trying to come back on another day and do something. If you can watch one video and then implement something, then that's going to increase your knowledge level. It's one thing to watch somebody else doing it on a video. It's another thing for you to do it yourself. All right. Well, we are almost at the top of the hour, and I need to start my webinar coming up at 5 o'clock, so we're going to go ahead and wrap up. So as we're finishing out, I do encourage you to share any actions that you plan to take over the next week. And it sounds like for a couple folks on the call today, there might be some actions that you might want to take related to building an opt-in page. So go ahead and share if you have any commitments, or at least write it on your own task list of what you plan to do, and then go out and take action on that here in the next week. Thanks for joining me on the Sales Technology Training Call. I look forward to connecting with you next week. Have a great week, and God bless.